You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Welcome back, neighbors, for another Neighborhood Archive podcast. My guest today is someone, a name that you, I'm sure, have seen out there if you've followed the Neighborhood Archive for very long. He was one of the very first people who made contact with me when I first began the Neighborhood Archive 4 or 5 years ago, and he and I have been in a pretty frequent contact since then. He is a huge fan of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. In fact, I think on Twitter and Facebook this morning I referred to him as a super fan. I definitely feel like his knowledge of the neighborhood is up there, if not better than anyone I've come in contact with up to this point. And so it is with great pleasure that I welcome Lawrence Martin to the Neighborhood Archive podcast. Lawrence, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you, Tim. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes, it is. It is. Some of you may be aware of Lawrence's story, especially if you are friends with him on Facebook or happen to follow him on Twitter. He's mentioned it a few times about his experience with visiting the set of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but and we'll get to that in just a second. First, Lawrence, what I'd like to do is just kind of start with your background a little bit. How is it that you came to be so fond of the neighborhood? What it is that appeals to you about the neighborhood? If you could just talk about that a little bit to give us a little bit of a background.
Yeah, the earliest memories for me are probably between the age of 3 and 5, which is the typical age that any kid growing up would have watched the neighborhood and stuff.
Sure.
It's funny that people would mention that and would say, well, what do you, and I think it's funny because a lot of the episodes I remember because I was watching the neighborhood at a time when there was a mixture of the 70s neighborhood, the pre-79 and the modern neighborhood episodes. And I remember a lot of the episodes of people would say, oh yeah. And so I told people I've seen at least all 8, well, maybe not quite 95 episodes. I've never seen any of the black and white except for the ones that were available on Amazon and maybe a couple of others that people have just given to me through email and stuff. But yeah, my earliest memories are when I was a preschool kid, and I've just loved it ever since and wanted to follow in Fred's footsteps and be an educator myself, more of a Christian educator,
sure,
so to speak.
So it was a matter of, you know, just like the stories of a lot of people where you were a kid who loved the neighborhood and it just kind of spoke to you on a personal level, it sounds like, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And so you continued to be a fan, you know, throughout your childhood and clearly today. What is it exactly about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that just stands out to you? Why is it so appealing to you?
I think for me it's appealing because I think this is the whimsical side of Fred. It's the, you know, most people never catch this. I know for me, I definitely have caught it. I think I've seen it in a few of your posts where, like, Fred will stick something that'll be in biblical standards, religious side of things. You know, I love the Lord and stuff. And so it always seems like there's always something where I'm like, Fred will stick something out. Like, he had a scripture in Matthew from the food week.
Mm-hmm.
That he had mentioned and something, and I thought, that's really cool that he sticks that in. It's not just, you know, oh, it's like Sesame Street where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5,
mm-hmm,
you know, or the A, B, and C, you know, it's, you know, there's more of feeling and the religious side of Fred, and it sticks out to me like a thumbnail.
Mm-hmm. And so let's get a little bit into, I guess, your story with, you know, your visit to the set. If you're new around the, you know, you haven't visited the Neighborhood Archive website much, or maybe, you know, you're new, you just haven't dug into it to see what all is out there, you're going to find in the top menu bar, there's a link that says Miscellaneous, and under the Miscellaneous tab is a link for stories. And in those stories is one, it's complete with pictures shared with me by Lawrence that he took or that were taken during his visit to the neighborhood set back in 1991. And if I'm not mistaken, Lawrence, correct me if I'm wrong here, that was during the week that the art episodes were being filmed?
It was the art week and stuff, but the precursor to that story, in case anybody hasn't heard the backstory.
Sure, yeah, let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Because, the backstory is that it kind of goes, there's a precursor, because this whole visit to the neighborhood actually started going back in September of 1989. I wish I could have the full date to that, but I remember it's September 1989, and I remember having the opportunity to meet David Newell first. And I remember it was Saturday morning. There was there's the typical cartoons that everybody watches. Well, there's no PBS Kids stuff on Saturday morning for our neck of the woods on Saturday mornings back then. And so I was watching maybe Julia Childs or something like that. And all of a sudden there's this advertisement between programs on PBS, and they said, Mr. McFeely is coming to the Sunrise Mall in Sacramento, California, which is where I'm from. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. And nobody believed me at the time that this was going on. And so I was like, and so my parents called and said, oh, yeah. And so they found out, yeah, David was going to be there. So we packed the family up and drove out to the mall. We got to see both his shows, got to talk with David Newell, and at the end of the first show that they had done with Mr. McFeely, they were doing this thing, the If You're Happy and You Know It song, and it was so funny because I didn't know what was going on with the song and stuff, so I started singing the Good Feelings song, so it's such a good feeling, you know, and so David Newell, as Mr. McFeely, said, well, why don't we just snap our fingers, so if you're happy and you know it, snap your fingers. And so I get off the set, and David Noah says, would you come back up and sing the Good Feeling song again? I was like, oh, this is so cool to be able to go back. So I've got a picture, and you've probably seen it. I may have sent it to you.
Yeah, I've seen the picture. I don't know if I've got it saved. I'll have to get that from you to share that on the blog when I post this.
Yeah,
when I post this podcast.
Yeah, but there's a picture of me and Mr. McFeely and Purple Panda all on the stage, and I'm like the lone ranger, so to speak. And so yeah, but that was fun. And then my parents were like, do you know if there's a way that we can meet Fred Rogers? And that's where we're going to get into my visit, because the visit with the neighborhood took place on June 19th, 1991. Mm-hmm. And it's the 22nd year anniversary of that. And so going into that, we had to make some connections, because it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. They don't, maybe a Make-A-Wish person would come in and get to visit and stuff, mm-hmm. but a general public person wouldn't be allowed. But so we had to make some connections and stuff. So Fred knew somebody who I had an aunt in our family that had a boss who had gone to seminary school with Fred Rogers in the 1950s. And so we make that arrangement, and of course David Noah helps us and stuff, and so we make our travel arrangements to the neighborhood. And the day before we visited, we actually had the opportunity to go to Idlewild Park and go to and take that trolley ride in the neighborhood, Make Believe at Idlewild Park.
And it had to have been fairly new at that point, right?
Yeah, it was fairly new. And what's funny about that is that people, and it was so funny because the people at Fan Communications, even before we came, was like, you got to keep this a secret. Or like, because we're at the park and we're like, the day after tomorrow, we're going to go and visit the neighborhood. And
so you get to, you guys, your family traveled from, just to make sure I got this right, from California all the way to Pennsylvania to visit with the sole purpose of visiting the set.
And the funny thing is that we actually, now most people would have gone and flown from California to Pittsburgh. We actually drove.
You drove the entire way across the country to Pennsylvania.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
And so, but we get to Idlewild Park, and it's so funny because we're here because, and like you said, it was fairly new at the time, mm-hmm. and there's tons of people. You know, if you've heard the stories about how back in the 60s and 70s they would allow for tours and they overfilled WQD. Well, Idlewild Park was just like that. Hmm. And we're standing in this long line, and I mean, I'm sure it was like an hour long wait to get on the trolley, and so, but we'd hear people say, wouldn't it be cool to meet Fred Rogers or meet Mr. McFeely or these people? We're like, you know, like a little kid, like, oh, it's so hard to tell the secret, but failing communications told us not to tell it, and we didn't, you know.
Otherwise, they'd probably have people knocking on their door every minute of the day. So, yeah, I understand. So, let's go to the next day. So, you get to...
The next day, which is the 19th, we get there, and we go up to the elevator to the second floor. Well, no, actually, the studio was on the first floor, but I guess we had gone in the back when we had to go down, or because the studio building has changed forever. But if you go in the street that's across in front of WQD, you have these stairs you have to walk up. But what they had told us was, they said you need to park your car in the I think there was a church nearby WQD, and so they told us to park in this church nearby, and they told us to put a sign in our window that said Mr. Rose's Neighborhood. And my dad and I were really good about drawing the neighborhood logo. And so we just said we are visiting Mr. Rose's Neighborhood and wrote the neighborhood logo and put it in our window of our van that we were driving, because we had a minivan at the time.
Okay, so you get into the studio, right? And yeah. Do you remember what exact episode was it that you visited? Do you recall?
Well, we were visiting probably the opening, from when he sings the neighborhood song to when he goes over to the art studio. So this is episode 1641 that we're getting to see.
Okay. And so as you walk into the studio, as you arrive at the studio, tell me some things, you know, some memories of the experience, and some things that happened while you were there. I've heard about some of this before, and I'm absolutely fascinated by it.
Yeah. So for me, being 8 years old, and I remember some great memories and stuff of that visit. And the thing that I first came—I mean, it was just for me as an eight-year-old kid. I'm walking into Studio A, which is now called the Fred Rogers Studio. And I'm walking in there, and Fred, I believe that the Carmack Vicar and Bobby Rawlstern and Fred and David and some of those people hadn't come in yet to the studio, but the whole interior of Fred's living room was already set up, and I just could hear, even though Johnny Costa wasn't in there yet, I could hear the music playing. As in my mind, the music was playing. The lights were already up on the studio and everything, and I'm walking in there in my little outfit that I was wearing, sweater and shoes and all that.
I can imagine that walking in and seeing that set right in front of your face was just amazing.
And I'm seeing it, and I'm just hearing the Won't You Be My Neighbor song just play, you know, just the bum 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 bum, and hearing that, and so it was just amazing that we got. I wish I could remember some of the staff people. Mm. But there was a late, an African, you'll see in one of the early pictures where we're at with the fish tank. That was probably the first thing that we saw going into it. And there was a lady who said, would you like some coffee or juice? We've got some pastries and stuff. We said, no, thank you, unfortunately. I wish now, going back into that, I should have taken a pastry and some juice. But they offered that. We said no thing, and we went up through the tour of the house and stuff, and we looked at the fish. And it was funny because there's a sign behind so people who don't know the behind the scenes of this is that there's a sign behind the fish tank that says only Fred Rogers is allowed to feed the fish. Mm. Fortunately, I didn't feed it because I knew Fred would feed him, and he did feed him in that episode.
And so were you approached before the taping began by members of the cast, or was it one of those where you sat back and watched and then afterwards had the opportunity to talk?
This is funny because the only people who were part of that episode, a part of the interior, of course, you've seen the neighbor to make, because they didn't do the house and the neighbor to make sure everything's all, but this point in Fred's career, you know, everything's all, you know, kind of pieced at different parts of the year where he'll do the on-screen look, like when he goes and visits Bob Tro at the art center.
Oh, right.
This is not Tro's workshop. But, you know, he'll go to an on-scene location, like he went to the school or something. Mm-hmm.
So this would have been just Fred and David Newell, I assume, right?
It was just Fred and David Newell for the interior of the house.
Okay.
And so, but it was interesting because I remember going through, and so we got to go and see the trolley, and we did all this stuff, and finally David Newell and Fred came in, and it was funny because I remember this very because I you've seen pictures where I'll sit on the bench and you'll see me in the closet, and I was actually singing the song, and I was kind of having some fun pretending to be Fred and stuff, and people were thinking, we need to, like, dye Lawrence's hair. We need to dye it gray for the purposes of shooting. And so I would go and just do these roll takes, and I had my middle brother, who was old enough to probably remember, but I had him, you know, pretend to be, so we were Fred and Mr. McFeely pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then I, all of a sudden I saw Fred and David Noah getting their microphones put on and stuff. And I went over to him and I said, speedy delivery. and David and Fred looked at each other thinking, what's going on here? And they look, and David Noah says, oh, this is Lawrence. And he's like, Fred Rogers, I want you to meet Lawrence and his family. They're from Roseville. And so,
and for those of you, for those of you that haven't seen the pictures yet, you know, obviously I encourage you to do that because they're just absolutely wonderful. But you may not realize that as Lawrence is describing this, when he was there visiting, he was dressed basically exactly like Fred was on the show. They both wore the red sweater, the dark tie, the dark pants, and it's absolutely wonderful to look at these pictures of the two of them together. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
So after David introduces us to Fred and stuff, you know, so we get to meet him and stuff, and the next part was kind of cool, which was Fred asked all the people who, all the kids, you know, pretty much was my two younger brothers plus another kid who I do not know, but so the next part is that Fred invites us to go up to go through the front door and go through the house and stuff, and that's really when the rehearsal began. Mm-hmm. And people will see pictures and you'll see, and it starts with us going through the front door and going over the closet. And Fred said to me, he said, you know, cause he had all of his sweaters and stuff, you know, looked at mine and I knew that he was colorblind and I could not figure out how he figured that my sweater was red. And I still think to this day, it's a little bit more pinkish color than red. But then, God bless you, Fred, if you're listening to this heaven, heavens. But it was just funny because he's like, well, I'm going to wear this red sweater because you're wearing a red. Of course, mine was button. And I always think about it because the staff crew, especially when we were getting to that part and he's picking out the sweater, people were having fun hinting to an episode called Episode 1293, which is the one where he misbuttons the sweater, and you also see it in the mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Mistakes week is right. 1576 is what it is. Is when he's having trouble with his green zipper sweater. Uh-huh. And so, but it's always funny when I think, you know, I'm wearing a button sweater, and he's, by this point, he's just gone to zipper sweaters.
Sure.
And so, but no, but.
So at this point, Lawrence, you're basically taking a tour, it sounds like, of the set with Fred himself, right?
Well, we did is almost like a second tour pretty much, but Fred gets to show us through and stuff. And it's funny because there's a picture where my nephew, my son, and hopefully we can delete that out. youngest of the three brothers, the youngest of the two brothers, who was one at the time. I was climbing the ladder. Oh man, was Mr. Rogers ticked off at the staff for? He was like, "You got to get the slot." And you'll see the facial expression. I think it might be up there as we're going into the set because we're all, the rest of the kids are like pushed up against the front door, getting mm-hmm. ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually looking at that picture right now as you're describing. I can see it right here in front of me.
Yeah, and so he's like, you need to get that ladder out of here because he was really worried about my youngest brother falling off, so they've quickly got it out, and then we finally go into the set, and my brother's just literally, you know, climbing down the stairs and finally caught up, and Mr. Rogers just waited patiently and said, you know, you can come in. and then we were showing Mr. Rogers how many like dials there were on the trolley switch and stuff, and then and so by this point in our tour is when we start doing the rehearsal, and we says, you know, I'm going to use these blocks for the program and stuff. And this is what was my fondest memory of the neighborhood, was being able to, I said, what am I going to build? I don't know if this is going to be on the show or not, but I wanted to build a neighborhood trolley out of out of blocks. And I said, well, there's a little yellow block and there's a brown block. And I built it and I showed it to Fred, and Fred got a kick out of it. And so we had two opportunities to see, we got to see the rehearsal and see them taping doing a tape rehearsal. And then we got to go up and go in behind glass so they could actually tape it for real with the audio recording and all that.
And is that where the photos came from, where you're kind of above the set a little bit?
Yeah.
And again, I can't say this enough. If you've not seen these pictures, definitely go to the Neighborhood Archive site, and they're under the tab at the top that says miscellaneous, then under stories, and then you'll find Lawrence's story there with
I think you'll also find it under episode 1641.
Right, there's a link directly from 1641 to these pictures. And again, they're absolutely fascinating, and I think as I said on the site itself, I think it's kind of the envy of anyone who ever grew up watching the Neighborhood show, just because it's so fascinating to see some of these pictures from above the sets and some of the behind the scenes things, and just some candid shots of Fred on the set to me is just absolutely wonderful. So as you're watching the taping from above, do you have any other memories of maybe some behind the scenes stuff, like the idea of like you mentioned, the sign that was behind the fish tank that said only Fred Rogers is allowed to feed the fish. Anything else like that that people wouldn't know about unless they were there on the set?
One of the things that I thought was of interest is that the trolley, actually, when the trolley goes into make-believe, something that I remember is there was a little felt cardboard piece for the trolley to. So if the trolley was, if Fred say like, well, let's take the fast and slow week, for instance, when Fred brings the trolley back and forth and it goes fast, there's a little soft cushion device that keeps the trolley from going, you know, off the tracks and into picture per se.
Sure. So it's equally...
because picture and the trolley are connected, but there's a rear screen projector, and I think this was, well, this is when I've seen, I remember this is a pre-79, so but it's, what is it, 14, is it episode 1457? I think it's episode 1457 that he shows kind of the behind the scenes of how picture works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact episode.
I know that you've covered it, but I've also had the opportunity to see that episode, so.
Yeah, see, and stuff like that, I think that is fascinating for us as adults to look back at, you know, to where you can imagine, as a kid, you're watching the show, and you just kind of have this idea that the trolley goes into the wall and just continues on this long track.
Right.
But in reality, of course, when you sit back and think about it, it's exactly like you've described, where it goes in, and I'm sure it doesn't go more than just another foot or two, probably, right?
Yeah.
Like, and there's, like you said, a device to make sure it stops, and that's the extent of the trolley track. So
I know by the end, but so at towards the end of the visit, and that was the fun part, was we actually got to see a lot of the Neighborhood make believe, because they just happened to finish taping the final weeks to that whole art week. Mm-hmm. Of the Neighborhood of make-believe, so they had a Neighborhood make-believe in another studio room and just pushed it all against walls, and so we got to see everything like in pieces and stuff, but so we got to be a part of we got to see the cows on the tree and took pictures, and it seems like the stories I've heard from a lot of people is that there's always people who go and visit WQD, and the first thing they want to do is they want to get a picture in front of the castle and the tree, which is what we did, because every other piece of make-believe was the other way around. Like, the clock was the back, and I wish we had taken a picture of the clock facing the opposite direction of the factory, which were next to each other. And the museum grounds top part was on a flatbed, and then half of the trolley track was on, like, another wall or something. So we got to see those pieces, but before we left, I sang the Speedy Delivery song, which is that's what you get, a speedy, speedy delivery. Mm-hmm. And David Neal loved it.
No, so, that's great.
But that was kind of the last thing of what I remember through that, you know, and that was pretty much to what I tell people is that's really the end of the story there, is when I got to go over and sing for Fred and Johnny Costa.
Now you've got a really cool picture on here where it's taken from a little bit of a distance, but it shows Fred seated at the piano in the studio.
Yeah, and you can barely see me and my middle brother, because, and it's a blurry shot because it was taken on one of those old school cameras by my folks and
stuff. But that's what that picture is when you're over there singing with him.
Yeah, that's what I'm singing with.
That's great.
Yeah, so. Wow. And you can kind of see, like, you can barely make out, like, Bobby Roth. When I look back and I'm like, oh, the picture, but I'm like, you know, I have eaten my carrots really well in the last few days. Or, when, so, but I went back and I'm like, oh, there's Bobby Ross. You can barely see Carl McVicker and Bobby Rossler just standing. You can't see Johnny Costa, but you can definitely see Carl McVicker and Bobby Rossthorne in the background. I wish that there was a better picture with Costa, because Costa was sitting next to Fred, because they were rehearsing, you know, probably rehearsing some music or something for that didn't maybe go right or something. Because he would always collaborate with Johnny after, until 1996, when Johnny passed away.
And so let's fast forward, all these years later, and clearly you're still a fan of the neighborhood. You still, obviously, you know the show. I mean, your knowledge of the show, to me, is unbelievable. You know, the fact that you're able to pull, episode numbers and things like that, that I'd have to look that stuff up. But, it's just amazing, and it's very clear that you still have a passion for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And so I know you and I have corresponded occasionally when it comes to different pieces of memorabilia, and things like that. And so I know you've got a collection of your own of Mr. Rogers and memorabilia. Talk about maybe a handful of some of your favorite things that you've got.
Okay, well, I know that one of the earliest things in my collection goes back to when I was 4 years old, and I still have this tape, and that is the VHS tape of What About Love that I got at a Walden's bookstore in 1987. That was probably the first thing in my collection that I still have to this day. I've also got some original VHS tapes. One of the weeks that I've got from its original air date is the Nighttime Week, which is 1586 to... Well, no, I take that back. I don't have 1586 on that VHS tape, but I've got 1587 to 1590 on a VHS tape. So those are the two VHS tapes that go... I've already come on 25 years. And those are the oldest things in my collection. Some of the things that sort, and this was surprising, like going through the neighborhood, just going visiting to the neighborhood, was knowing that WQED had a shop that we never knew of. Well, we kind of knew because they had sent us catalogs prior to our visit, but we didn't really, we didn't know about it. And so this is kind of going back to that story, because this is where my collection really took off after the visit, because I had maybe a couple of videos that I had either recorded off of the TV, or I bought like the What About Love thing that I bought. So I have the What About Love thing, and then the very first few things that I collected or got, and this is coming from our visit to the neighborhood, was the neighborhood make-believe magnet board.
Okay.
The Speedy Delivery tote bag, the If We Were All the Same book, the Try Visit to Make-Believe book, and those are the things that I picked out, and then a Mr. Rogers t-shirt that has him in a blue cardigan sweater with the words, "You Are Special," on the t-shirt. And those were the things that I got from the visit to the studio, and then over the time, my parents, for Christmas and birthday the following years, got me an extensive collection from King Freddy the 13th and Queen Sarah puppet to Henrietta Pussycat and Daniel Sherpa Tiger puppets.
Well, I know there's that poster that I came across, you know, several months ago.
That poster was funny, and that reminded me of the thank you letter that I got from David Newell. He actually, and I lost the poster that they had sent. He's like, well, I don't know if he sent you these posts. You just recently said that you got a Speedy Delivery thing of those promotional cards. And those actually were some that were given to us, to each kid that came to the neighborhood. They gave those to us when we visited the neighborhood. So I have, I've lost a lot of them, but the ones that I still have are Joe Negri, the neighborhood trolley, and Chef Braga. From this collect, and they gave everybody who's on the cast the more common ones we've all known, like Francois Clemens and Audrey Roth and those people. But so that was part of my collection, and then I've got the Daniel Sherpa Tiger Gets Ready for Bed book, and oh man, I've got a lot. Some of it is stuff that came from back in the late 80s, early 90s, and some of it is stuff that when I heard about Fred's passing in 2003 is when I said, I don't even know how long the show is going to last or how long their company is going to last. And I didn't even know there was going to be that Daniel Tiger's Neighbor program coming at that time. So I thought, okay, this is probably going to be the end of an era. So I've got to buy enough collectible items.
Get them while you can, right?
Well, I mean, I had stuff from a kid that I'd saved, but I thought, you know, but of course, as time goes on, you lose things.
Sure.
One of my favorite things was every year was getting the new calendar that told what was coming in the near future. But those trolley calendars stopped as of 1999 for me, and then I lost them all.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the poster I mentioned earlier, if people are kind of new to the archive, the poster I mentioned was one that showed up on eBay several months ago. I think it was last fall sometime, or maybe in the spring. But it's kind of like a long, skinny poster that's just a fantastic drawing of just about every character you can imagine from throughout the run of the Neighborhood show. And I don't know how I had never seen this before, and I was just in awe by this poster. And then, of course, you know, Lawrence just says, oh, yeah, I've got one of those. Just like it's no big deal. I've had one of those all along. And so, yeah, sure enough, I think you've got it hanging on your wall, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, it's on my wall. And what was funny is the thing is that I lost the original poster that Dave and Noel had sent us through the mail.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because I had, like the one I have on my wall now, I had taped it on the wall, but I ended up, the poster got torn and stuff, and I think I lost the part with Mr. Rogers on it and stuff, and I think it got through, you know, like any kid does, you lose some of your childhood things and you have to go and re-find them or buy them. And luckily,
the Fred Rogers Company
is still existing. So in 2004, I was like, I've got to get another copy of that poster. And I was glad that it was still available. And what I did was when the Children's Corner hit their 50th anniversary, I said, well, because this is a poster of the Neighbor to Make With, like you expect, I said, I'm going to put it in a gold frame because the Neighbor to Make Believe as itself, even though it wasn't called the Neighbor to Make Believe when it started, was something where I felt like it needed a gold frame to say it's, you know, 50 years old. I guess next year it's going to be 60, which is a surprising thing that, you know, to show that Fred's career has gone on for 60 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just, that's one of the things that just fascinates me about his career, about everything, is just the longevity of it, is how, you know, how long he did what he did, and the fact that things basically stayed the same that entire time. It just is unbelievable to me.
And one of my favorite things of Fred Rogers that is not the Neighborhood related is, what is that show that he went? He only, I'm blanking on this one right now. It was the one where he played the Reverend.
Dr. Quinn.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things that he's done.
Yeah, that was interesting to see that episode with him. You know, that being the only time he really ever did anything other than Mr. Rogers, it was interesting to see him in a different role or in a different personality.
I always love watching the Tonight Show and as Joan Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that it always, I always love when Joan Rivers just, because I think about how his whimsy comes out, and that's how I try to play myself out at times, because I know if something doesn't go right, I know that there will be people that need that little bit of whimsy, and I think that's the thing I like about Fred Rogers. And if people had to ask me what my favorite Neighborhood episode would be, it happens to be episode 1276.
Okay, why is that?
And I don't know. I think it's because it's an episode that when I was a kid, it was always showing up during the summertime, and it was one that I had on videotape.
What episode is that? Is 1276?
1276 has Fred Rogers. He comes in with a chalkboard, and he says, you know, some people call it a green board, some people call it a blackboard, and then he goes over to picture and shows some similarities and stuff. The Neighbor to Make Believe is kind of a build on from the previous week where Harry Cow is new and Lady Elaine is jealous.
Well, Lawrence, it's been absolutely fantastic talking with you after corresponding with you over the past few years since the beginning of the Neighborhood Archive site. It's good to talk with you. And just kind of get your opinion on some things. It's good to hear your story from your visit to Pittsburgh, to WQED, and your time on the set. You know, if you're not friends with Lawrence on Facebook, he's one of the most positive people I think I've ever encountered. Lawrence, again, thank you very much for taking the time to share your story with us. It's a great one.
Yeah. Well, I had a question as we end this recording.
Sure.
Would you be willing to, as we finish this recording, to sing the Tomorrow song as we as a way to wrap up?
Oh, no way. No way.
Okay. Yeah, I think we ought to sing the Tomorrow song. Tomorrow, tomorrow, we'll start the day tomorrow with a song or two. One, two. Tomorrow, tomorrow, as soon will be tomorrow, be our day. We'll say a very tomorrow to you.
Excellent, excellent. Lawrence, that is fantastic. Again, if you are new to the Neighborhood Archive, check out his pictures. Check out the pictures from his story. You will absolutely love them. Again, they are in that main, the main menu bar there at the top. Under miscellaneous, then to stories, and then you'll find the link directly to Lawrence's pictures. Lawrence, thank you again. Everyone else,
oh, no problem, as Lady William Fairchild would say, toot toot.
Yes, yes. Everyone else, feel free to check in on the Neighborhood Archive, dig around for a while. There's plenty there to keep you busy.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, we'll start the day tomorrow with a song or two. Tomorrow, tomorrow, we'll start the day tomorrow with a smile for you. Till then, I hope you're feeling happy. Till then, I hope your day is snappy. Tomorrow, tomorrow, it soon will be tomorrow and be our day. We'll say a happy tomorrow to you.